let's jump right in. Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. I'm so glad you're here. I missed you so much last week. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you this morning for the privilege of studying your word. I'm old now, and I've been young, and I can testify to you that your word is the thing that makes all the difference in our lives. If we'll learn it, build our life upon it, and this morning we have the privilege of just looking into your word, of being challenged together, of getting our hearts stirred up and being exhorted to grow in the area of spiritual disciplines for the purpose of godliness. And so, Father, I pray this morning that you will just take this lesson and use it in our lives, Father. Thank you for every lady that got up and made preparation to be here this morning. I know coming into this room can be a little overwhelming sometimes, but I pray, God, that we will be a room of women that reach out and embrace one another and make each other feel welcome. And as we go in this journey together, we need each other. We need encouragement, and we need love, and we need care. And I pray that you'll make our class that very thing, the Sunday school class that cares for each other. And we just pray now that you would speak through the power of your Spirit this morning. I pray that this lesson would not be boring. I pray, God, that we would get all excited about learning your word together. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we're studying the book, Spiritual Disciplines for a Christian Life. And they're in the back. I have a few left. If you didn't get one, they're $10. You can just put your money in the basket and you say, Teresa, I didn't bring my money. You can bring it next week. But I'm so glad you're here. Now, I missed you last week. I was at, first of all, where's your handout? Can we do this without a handout? That's a question. You know what? I forgot my handout. I left it at home. And when I got to the office to make my copies, I didn't have it. And I remembered, it's right up on my printer. So I'm so sorry. I know you're going to be disoriented without a handout because I've trained you to have a handout. So just listen this morning, and I'll have the handout next week. But I went to Kentucky with Bill for a meeting in Louisville at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, and our writer of our book is a professor there. And so I immediately went Monday morning. I thought, I'm going to find out if he's got a class, and I'm going to go sit in. And so I went to his office there, and he takes Mondays off. I'm so frustrated. She said, oh, you can come Tuesday. I said, you don't understand. I can't do Tuesday. I can only do Monday. So I didn't get to meet him. I didn't get to go to his class, but there's always next time, right? So maybe next time I'll get to see him. Now, our theme verse for this book, for our study, is this verse, and it's on your handout that you don't have. And it's 1 Timothy 4:7. It's a very simple verse, and it's an instruction that Paul is giving to his young son in the faith. And this is what he says to Timothy. He says, discipline yourself. You need to discipline yourself. Discipline yourself for a purpose. And what purpose would that be? It would be for the purpose of godliness, for the purpose of holiness. Another way to say it would be for the purpose of Christ likeness. Now, we all want to be more like Jesus, right? I know I do. How am I going to get there? What's my plan? I need a game plan. And so Paul says, Timothy, if you want to be more like Christ, you're going to have to discipline yourself. And that's what the Christian life is all about, becoming more like Jesus. Now, the Holy Spirit moved into my life when I got saved and when you got saved. He moved right in. He started setting up housekeeping in my heart, in my life. It was a new place for him because my life was all in disarray. But he moved right in. He started setting up housekeeping in my life. He was very gentle with me. He was gentle with you. He's always a gentleman. And as he came in, that was right at 50 years ago. And I just remember when I was born again, when I got saved, however you want to say it, I was so excited. I was so into it. Because I had so much to learn about everything, since I didn't personally have a very good spiritual foundation from which to work. And so the Holy Spirit got right to work in my life. And here's what I want to say about it. I mean, my heart changed, and I really, really wanted to grow. You know what I needed? I needed Don Whitney's book, Spiritual Disciplines for a Christian Life. It's one of the things I needed. It would have really helped me so much. That's why I'm so glad we're learning this, studying this together in Sunday school. And the things that we're going to be covering in the chapters in this book are very elementary. And as I'm reading this book, my heart is just agreeing with it. I'm saying, yes, that's true. Yes, this is, I say amen to that. And the truth is, we really all want to be more like Jesus. We want to be more like Jesus in our speaking, our words, in our thinking, in our living, in our actions. And so Paul tells his young son Timothy, if you want to be more godlike, you're going to have to discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Now, we said a statement in our first lesson, which was this statement. See if you remember it, if you were here. We said, discipline without direction is drudgery. Do you remember that statement? Discipline, and that would be on your handout too, without direction is drudgery. We don't develop disciplines. I'm not wanting you to come and let's get really good at certain things so we can just be really good at them. I'm going to give out awards to the one that's the best and who's doing. You keep a log and let me compare each other. That's not what we're doing. The disciplines aren't an end in themselves. We've got to remember there's a purpose for our discipline. And it's that we become like Christ. It's that we become godly. So our discipline has direction. It's taking us somewhere. And that somewhere is to be like Jesus. Now, I look at my own life, and I look back now. I'm old, and I'm looking back 50 years of walking with the Lord. It's been a real journey. And I can just tell you that I love where discipline has brought me. These disciplines, and that I'm not great at them, I'm not perfection at them, but I have developed them in my life. And I like the result that they've brought. As I'm standing before you, I'm 69 now. I'm saying, thank you, Jesus. That discipline was important in my life. I would have never gotten here if I had been sloppy. And it doesn't mean I wouldn't have been saved. But, I mean, I want to be used and I want to grow, don't you? Well, I'm going to have to discipline myself for the purpose of God using me. So I'm going to become more like Jesus. And so this morning, as we begin with looking at our very first discipline that we must develop in our lives, if we're going to know godliness, this would have been my point on my handout, it is going to be, and it's chapter 1 and 2 in our book. It's Bible intake. Bible intake. We've got to get in the Word of God. Now, without a doubt, listen to me. This discipline, getting in the Word of God, taking in the Word of God, is the most important discipline for us to develop. There's absolutely no substitute for it. Because I think it's obvious that there has to be a healthy, steady diet of the Word of God if I'm going to grow spiritually, right? Now listen to my points that you would be putting on your handout if we had it. Because the Word of God is where we learn about and where we hear God speak. It is the Word of God. It is His voice to us. So if I want to hear God speak, I'm going to have to go to where His words are, and that's God's Word. It's where we learn about the fact that Jesus is His Son, and Jesus is God incarnate. He is God in the flesh. It's where we hear the saving gospel. It's where we learn the ways of God and the will of God. It's where we learn how God wants us to live. It's where we find what brings the most joy and the most satisfaction in life. It is the discipline that will bring the most transformation to our lives. It is the only place, it is the only place that contains this eternal, essential information. So, if I'm going to know God, if I'm going to be like God, if I'm going to be godly, I've got to know His Word intimately. Now, here's a sad truth. There are many Christians in remote parts of the world that have access, that do not have access, to the Word of God. And he tells a story in the book of a mission trip he went on, and he went to this remote village in Africa, and they did not have the Bible. It was very remote. But here's the other side of that coin. There are many, many professing Christians who know little more about the Bible than do those people who were living in a remote part of the world that don't have access to the Bible. Because you and I have access, amen? In fact, I wonder how many Bibles you have in your house. I don't even know. I have tons of them. All different kinds of versions. And not to mention on our phones. You can just have access to the Word of God immediately. Now, think with me. Since this is the most important discipline, I'm going to be spending 2 weeks on this subject. And that's going to be chapters 2 and chapters 3 in your book. Now, you just read your book as you want, but I'm just like letting you know where we're going to be in our study. So, this is part 1, and you know what that means. What's coming next week? Part 2. And who's got to be here? You do, because you got to get part 1 and part 2. I'm tricky like that. So it is the most important discipline, but listen, it's also the most broad discipline, and it actually consists of what we're going to call 5 several sub-disciplines. Now this morning we're going to look at 3 of them, and then next week we'll look at 2 more, okay? So the first aspect, or the first sub-discipline that you would be writing on your handout, if you had one, would be just hearing the Word. And so that would be the first thing. And you know this, the easiest way to take in God's Word is just to discipline ourselves to simply hear God's Word. Just to hear it. That's the easiest way. Now, Teresa, what does that look like? Well, for most of us, this means that I'm going to have to develop the habit of faithfully attending a Bible-believing church where the Word of God is taught and where the Word of God is preached. Now, let's let Jesus talk for just a minute. Let's get His perspective, and let's go to Luke 11:28. Listen to this verse. This is what Jesus said. Blessed, rather, are those who hear the Word of God and keep it. So what's the purpose of hearing the Word of God? Blessed are those who hear the Word of God and what? Keep it. So what? Why am I going to be listening to it? I'm going to be listening to it in order that I can walk by it. I can live it. I can keep it. I want to do what God says for me to do. So I'm disciplining myself to hear it for the purpose of following Jesus, walking after Him for the purpose of godliness. Now let's go back and listen to another instruction that Paul gave to his young son Timothy in the faith. And this is coming in 1 Timothy 4:13. Listen to what he says here. He says to Timothy, "Now until I come, Timothy, Devote yourself. Devote. I like the word devote. I want you to be devoted to this. You know, think in your life, what are you devoted to? Now, Timothy, you devote yourself to this. Devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. That's hearing it, you're being taught about it, and you're being exhorted to follow it. So what I'm saying this morning is this. The Bible is to be the very centerpiece of our lives. Now, you and I, I'm just telling you what, we have so many avenues to hear the Word of God in our generation. Oh, my goodness, we have so many wonderful Christian podcasts and teaching and preaching. And, you know, while we're dressing and while we're cooking and while we're driving, we can listen to the most wonderful Bible teaching. I mean, just pick out the strong Bible teachers of our generation. Not just our generation. I mean, now you can even go back to the great Bible teachers of the past. They're all on the internet, and you can read their sermons, and you can hear them teach and preach. I mean, we're absolutely an overload in available content that is available to us to hear the Word of God. Not to mention just our time here in Sunday school every Sunday morning. I take this time very seriously. I don't want you to come and I don't want to talk about anything but the Word of God. I know I'm a lecturer and we don't have a lot of time for fellowship. But you know what? Our purpose is not fellowship in Sunday school. Our purpose is to hear the Word of God being taught. It's an opportunity for us to get in the Bible and to grow. But I'm just going to tell you what, you know this. There's all kind of things pulling at you on Sunday morning. Amen? And it's hard to get up and come here because everything is happening. I just won't go this Sunday. You know what? I get it. If I wasn't a teacher, I'd probably miss a lot. But I love this opportunity. And it's going to take discipline for you to say, you know what? I'm going to put myself in Sunday school for the purpose of godliness. Because I want to hear the Word of God being spoken. I want to hear and know God intimately. I want to walk according to His ways. It was interesting. I asked the office to give me a printout of just summer. May, June, and July's attendance in Oasis. And I was just going through the roll to see, well, who's here and who's not here. And you know, I was just going through that roll. And I'm just telling you, we have 156 women on our roll. Now, this morning, we probably have, I don't know, how many do we usually have, Sandra? 30 to 50. You see, you're going to have to discipline yourself to be here. It's something that you have to cultivate. Now, you're not doing it so you can get the start. No, you're doing it because why? What's our purpose? For the purpose of, tell me, godliness, Christ-likeness, hearing the Word of God. Another thought that I just want to mention, you know, before you go into Sunday school or before you go into the worship service, prepare your heart. Say, now, God, I want to be a listener today. Do you have a word for me? I want to hear the message. Be seeking to hear. Take time to pray and prepare your heart. Here's another. Let's go to the next one. So the first discipline, you tell me, it is simply, it's very easy, just hearing the Word of God. Teaching, preaching. Let's go to the next one. And this is going to be reading God's Word for yourself. Reading. That's the second sub-discipline. How often do you actually read your Bible? Now think about that in your mind. How often do you actually get the Bible and read it? If you want to be godly, if you want to be more like Jesus, then ladies, you're going to have to discipline yourself to read the Word of God. And we're seeing that the number one discipline for transformation is going to come from Bible intake, and that means we're going to have to really get in the Bible for ourselves individually, one-on-one with our Bibles, and actually read it. Now, I wonder, how many of you have ever read the Bible through? Raise your hands. I want to see. Okay? Very good. Very good. If you... Let me think. Let me find my place here. This is an interesting fact that I found out last week. There are recorded readings of the Bible, and that has proven that you can actually, listen carefully, read through the entire Bible in just 71 hours. Now, what does that mean, Teresa? Well, that means that if you read the Bible for just 15 minutes every day, you could easily read through the Bible in less than a year. 5 minutes a day, and it would take you 3 years. I want you just to stop and think for a minute, how much time do you spend on social media each day, on your phone, playing games? I'm really addicted to Blockscapes. I love that game. My score is over 4,000 this month, by the way. Bill loves solitaire, free set. What did the children like? They like Roblox. How much time do you spend watching television? Now, let me see if I can help you. Why do we want to read our Bible? We want to hear it taught and preached. Why do we want to read it? For what purpose? To be like who? Christ. For the purpose of godliness. Because I want my life to count for the kingdom. Do you want your life to count for the kingdom? You really want to be a kingdom woman. You're going to have to discipline yourself. There's a cost attached. Now, you can be a lazy Christian if you want to. That's your choice. But if you really want to be hot, if you really want to be used, you're going to have to discipline yourself for that purpose. So what does that mean, Teresa? Well, first of all, it means I'm going to have to set aside a time to read the Word of God. I'm going to have to discipline myself for that purpose. And I think it's helpful if you just could do it the same time every day. And a second practical suggestion is find a Bible reading plan. Now, some of you might have seen, I put it on Facebook. Does anybody have a plan that they can recommend? And I have a few suggestions. In the book, he says, if you read 3 chapters each day, and this is all on my handout. I'll bring my handout next week, okay? And I'll hand it out to you. If you read 3 chapters each day and 5 chapters on Sunday, you'll go through the Bible in 1 year. And then if you read 3 in the Old Testament, 3 in the New Testament, you will finish the Old Testament once and the New Testament 4 times in a year. And then another suggestion is start in 3 places in the Bible. And they took the Bible and divided them up into 3 sections. 1 section starts in Genesis. 1 section starts in Job. 1 section starts in Matthew. I'm going to read a chapter of Genesis, a chapter of Job, a chapter of Matthew. And I'm going to be going through the whole Bible. And I'm not going to get stuck in Leviticus, Deuteronomy, all of those. Those are hard to read. So that's another thing. Now, I asked Brother Greg. I just texted Brother Greg. And I said, Brother Greg, what is your favorite reading plan? And here is his favorite reading plan, right here. And I made copies. And if you're interested, come get one at the end of our That's 1 year Bible reading plan. If you wanted to read the Bible through. And then I got a lot of interesting responses on Facebook. Some like this app called the Bible Recap. It's a blue app. And it's a, they said it's awesome. It also has a daily video and a daily devotional attached to it. And then there is a 260-day reading plan by Robbie and Candy Gallaty, The Bible in a Year for Women by Candy Gallaty. I'll have all of this on your sheet next week. I had one person answer that she has read the Bible through, and now what she's doing is she's writing the chapters in the New Testament. And so she's writing a chapter, and as she writes the chapter, she said it slows her down and it makes her observe more. These are people who are disciplining themselves. You know why? Because they want to be more like Jesus for the purpose of godliness. So there's one more suggestion, and it is, as you're reading, find at least one word, one phrase, or one verse to meditate on each time you read. Now, that's because, and next week we're going to talk more about this subject of meditation, but let me just say this here. Without meditation, it is possible just to read your Bible. You get up, I got to read my Bible, let me sit down, I'm going to read three chapters here, and then get up from that and not remember a single thing I read. Because you know what I'm doing? I'm trying to mark my list off. Remember your purpose. You're reading it because you want to hear, you want to grow, you want to be changed. And even if you have a good plan, if it becomes just a chore, it's not very likely that you're going to be transformed by it. It's not very likely that it'll be a joyful thing for you. So meditation means that we take at least one thing we have read and we think deeply about that for a few moments. It causes us to have insight into Scripture, and it deepens as we do that. I love the story in our book of a man who had a deep passion to know the Word of God, and he was a new Christian, and then he was severely injured in an explosion. His face was badly burned. He lost his eyesight. He lost both of his hands, and one of his greatest disappointments was that he could no longer read God's Word. And he had no hands, so he could not read Braille. And then someone said, well, you can read Braille with your lips. But his lips were so badly damaged that he didn't have feeling in his lips. And he discovered one day that he could read the Braille with his tongue. And at the time of the writing of the book that mentioned him, that told his story, he had read through the entire Bible four times, reading with his tongue. Now that's discipline. He desperately needed the Word of God in his life. Here's one more discipline. What have we seen so far? Hearing the Word of God. What's the next one? Reading the Word of God. Now here's number three, studying God's Word. So you're going to hear it, you're going to read it, but then you're going to go deeper. You're going to study the Word of God. I put on your handout a quote by Jerry Bridges, and this is the quote, "Reading gives us breadth, but study gives us depth." Let's consider three examples of how to study the Word of God. Ezra is our first example. Listen to Ezra 7:10. "For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach God's statutes and rules in Israel." There's a progression in that verse. Listen to it. First of all, Ezra set his heart. That was the first thing he did. Secondly, he set his heart to do something, to study the law of the Lord, which would have been Moses and the prophets for him. He set his heart to study, and then the next progression was to do it. He was going to obey it. And then thirdly, after he had set his heart to study, to do it, then he was going to teach it to those who were in Israel. And then consider Paul and Silas in Acts 17:11-12. There they were. They had barely escaped from the city of Thessalonica, and the Jews were so jealous of their success there in Thessalonica, and they had been run out of town, and the next city they went to was a city called Berea. And there the Jews in Berea responded differently than the Jews that were in Thessalonica. Listen to what happened. It says, now these Jews in Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. And many of them, therefore, believed, with not a few Greek women of high standing as well as men. I just love that, the Greek women of high standing. Now notice Paul speaks of their willingness to examine the scriptures. And because they were willing to examine and study what they were hearing, he said they had noble character. One more example of Paul in 2 Timothy 4:13. And remember now, this is his last epistles, are 1 and 2 Timothy. And he's in prison in Rome. And he's expecting Timothy to come to him soon. And he writes this to Timothy. He says, Timothy, when you come, I want you to bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, and also the books, and above all, the parchments. Now, the parchments, the scrolls that Paul is requesting, certainly were copies of the scriptures. Here he is in prison. He's cold. He's miserable. He says, I need two things. Bring me my coat so I can be warm, and bring me God's word so I can study it. Well, surely he's had enough of the word of God. No, he still has a hunger for the word of God. Here is Paul. He had seen heaven. You can go to 2 Corinthians 12 and hear that story. He had actually had the resurrected Lord appear to him. That was Acts 9. He had experienced the power of performing miracles. Just look at Acts 14. He had written Holy Scripture himself, two-thirds of the New Testament. But what I want to point out is he wanted the Word of God at the very end of his life. Teresa, why don't I want God's Word like that? What is it about me? Do you ever feel that way? Why am I not hungering for it more? Why am I not more disciplined? Why am I not? I want to be. Why am I not? And the reason is very, very simply because it will require work on your part. And because this is going to hurt. Our flesh is lazy. Amen. Also, where would I even begin? That sounds so hard. Just simply get a pen and paper and start reading and start writing down observations as you read. And, you know, you can ask questions of Scripture as you're reading. Well, what does that mean? Well, where was that? Well, where is that city? And then I can go and I can look at maps and I can look up references. I can get a study Bible. There's so many excellent study Bibles out there. John MacArthur has an excellent study Bible. Al Mohler just came out with a study Bible. K. Arthur. So many good study Bibles. Look up references. Because usually you'll see a verse there and it'll have references out to the side. Go to those references. They'll add more color, more meaning to what you're reading, you see. It's going to take time. And it's work, right? And I've got my pen and my paper. And I'm just sitting there doing this. And why am I doing this? Let's go back to our purpose. For the purpose of, you tell me, godliness, Christ-likeness. Because I want to grow. Because I want to be useful. Then I can look up references. I can find a key word in my reading. And I can start doing some cross-referencing. I have this big Strong's Concordance at my house. It's this big old honking book, and I used to use it, but you know what? Now you just get the Strong's Concordance app on your phone. And I can look up any word, go back to the Greek, and then I can find out where in the Bible that word is used, all over the Bible. And it's going to add color and meaning, but you know what? It's going to take time. It's going to be work for me to do this. But I'm doing it because I want to grow. Another way to study your Bible is to take a chapter and outline that chapter. Just take it one paragraph at a time, then go to the next chapter and keep doing it until you finish the whole book. And before long, you'll have a stronger grasp on the Bible than if you were just reading it. You can do character studies, topical studies, book studies, learn the context, study the history, look at the culture, look at the geography surrounding it. Factor all of that in and then make application. I wonder, now listen, if your growth in godliness were measured this morning by the quality of your Bible intake, what would your grade be? Just this morning. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. I'm trying to exhort you to develop this discipline. Not so you'll be good at it. No, so you will be godly, you see. What is needed in our culture? I'm telling you, there is no other time in history where Christians needed to be more salty, more godly, more full of the Word of God. Let's consider Jesus' words in John 17. This is what's called Jesus' high priestly prayer. As he's facing the cross, he goes and he prays to God. And he's speaking to God about his disciples and about those who will become his disciples because of the disciples' words, and that's you and me. And here's what he prays in John 17:17. Sanctify them, God. Sanctify them in truth. And then he just says simply this, your word is truth. That word sanctify means set them apart, make them holy, and do it in truth. And your word is truth. You see, it's the word of God in our lives that's going to set us apart. It's going to make us different. It's going to make us holy. And if I'm going to settle for just poor quality intake of hearing, reading, and studying God's word, then I'm going to restrict this sanctifying grace that is coming toward me. Do you just feel like, oh, I fall so short here? I'm really challenged by this lesson, Teresa. Well, let's apply the message of Philippians 3:13 to any inconsistency that might be in your heart this morning. Listen to what it says. It says, I'm going to forget what lies behind, and I'm going to strain forward to what lies ahead. I can't really do anything about decisions I've made in the past, amen? But I can, today, put my hand to the plow and go forward. So this morning, as we close, just think of what is one thing you could do to improve your intake of God's Word. Now, of the Word of God. I said the God of Word. I have no business being your Sunday school teacher. I can't even talk. What have we learned? There are five sub-disciplines. We've learned three. What was the first one? Hearing the Word of God. You're here this morning. You're doing that. You get an A+. Second discipline. Hearing, then reading, then studying. And we have two more for next week. Don't miss next week. Be faithful to Sunday school. I'm going to be faithful to study and to teach. Be faithful to worship. Get your phone out. Explore different podcasts. Ask somebody younger if you're old. to help you set it up on your phone, because that's what I did. I said, Sunday, I want to hear some good preaching. And she says, here's all you got to do, Mom. And she set it up for me. Listen to the Bible teaching of great teachers. I mean, just Google their names. And their sermons are available right on the internet. Read the Bible every day. Get a Bible reading plan. Read the Bible through. Study on your own. There are all kinds of workbooks available that are inexpensive. If you've got time on Thursday mornings, come to our Thursday morning Bible study. That's a great way to go deep in the Word of God. Whatever way you choose, don't forget the why. Why are you doing it? Why are we doing it? Why do we want to do this? What's our purpose? It's because we are becoming. We're in the process of becoming. And I want to become more, don't you? I want to become more. I don't have much time left. I'm old now. But I want to still keep on becoming more and more like Jesus. Putting myself in the position to be used by Him. And remember, why don't we do it? It's because it is work and we are lazy. Shame on us. Let's let God stir our hearts up this morning to be women of the Word of God. Hearing it, reading it, studying it, and the next week, two more. So don't miss. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you for the opportunity that's been ours this morning. Just to have our hearts warmed, challenged, exhorted. We want to be your women. We want to be on mission for you. We don't want to be lazy. We want to make the Word of God a very important pursuit in our life. I thank you for showing us that of all the disciplines, this one really is the most important one. And so, Father, may we give our attention to it. May we buffet our flesh. Tell ourselves, no, turn off that TV. Put down that social media. Quit playing blockscapes. And get to your word. Even if it's just for 5 minutes a day, 15 minutes a day. May we start somewhere and forgetting what's behind, not letting that beat us up, but just say, from this day forward, I will pursue it more. And the reason why, it's not so Teresa will think I'm a good Christian. No, heavens forbid. So that we will become more like Jesus. We'll be like Ezra. We'll set our heart to hear it, to study it, to do it, and to teach it, and to share it in our world. We're in such a needy world, Father. What can we do? Well, we can discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness, and you can use us in our world. And I pray we'll do this morning. I thank you for everyone here this morning. I thank you, Father. I ask you to bring us back next Sunday, and we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right. See you next week. Oh, don't forget if you want one.